Welcome to HB2J Theology, given by my husband, Bob Shogren, in New Delhi, India, at the Caleb Institute.
Okay, look under on page 31, number 10, explaining the differences in these graphs. Okay, graph under A.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So on this verse, Ephesians 1:14, where it says the Holy Spirit is the guarantee or the deposit of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So to me, acquire kind of says you have to earn it.
Yep.
So, and if you use the word deposit for guarantee, has anyone ever worked in a bank? I have.
No.
Okay, well, if you work in a bank, the people come in, they open the checking account, they put in their first deposit. That is maybe your day of salvation. The first deposit of the Holy Spirit is your deposit. And then, if they are a faithful person with their money, they will come make more deposits. So for us as believers, we would then make more deposits with our good works. You know, we have chosen to give a cup of cold water to the person who's thirsty. We have gone out and helped the widow. We have shared the gospel. We have prayed with people. It's like we're going back to the bank and we're putting more deposits. And that says, until we acquire possession. So then the day you come before J2, maybe Christ is going to look at your bank account. Do you only have the first deposit, my child? Or do you have many deposits?
Yep.
Because you have been faithful to me. Well, then you have acquired it. Here's your inheritance. Because you did put all the deposits in to earn it. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Now remember, a Reformed is going to translate that word as guarantee. Therefore, a Reformed theologian will say all Christians finish strong. All Christians are Nike Christians. And if you're not a Nike Christian, you are what? You're not a true believer. You never really were a true believer. You were faking it the whole time. Well, that has problems because of many of the things we've talked about people who are drunk coming to communion, about people who are sleeping around in the church, but he calls them brothers. So that has problems. I think the most accurate translation is a deposit. It's a deposit. In other words, money's been put down. You need to add money to it. You need to add works. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Complete it now by doing those good works. Okay, look at the graph at the bottom of page 31 and look at the graph on the top of page 32. Which one is the Reformed theologian going to agree with? The second graph on page 32 or the first graph on page 31? Which graph will a Reformed theologian agree with? The second one, that all Christians are a part of the? Right, because all Christians finish strong. They're all overcomers. Okay, what I'm suggesting is the first graph. The blood of Jesus gets us into heaven, but gives us zero rewards. We have to earn the rewards. Some will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, and they'll have no rewards at all. Some will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They'll have a rich welcome. They'll be overcomers. They'll rule over 10 cities. They're part of the bride of Christ. They shine like the sun. And others are partially rewarded. They get 5 cities. They're possibly wedding guests only, shining like the moon because they didn't hear the words. Well done. So, I'm trying to propose to you, men and women, a new way of looking at Scripture. Okay? Odds are you are probably never going to hear this teaching again. Okay? I sure hope you do. I hope you're teaching it. all over where you go. These notes are so valuable. These recordings are so valuable. How many times do you have to hear these recordings? Six times. Has anybody even listened to one of the first 17 I've put up? Faithful man, not yet. Not yet, sir. Sir Bob. Not yet, but oh, I will. Okay. Listen. We're not going to go over it because you guys are all so tired of sitting here and you want to get out of here. Many of God's promises are conditional. If you just go through all of these, okay? Letter D, delight yourself in the Lord. First thing you got to do, and then you'll get what? He'll make your paths straight. Matthew 5:4, and letter E, mourn, then you'll be. Matthew 5:5, be gentle, humble, and meek, and then you'll. Matthew 5:10, be persecuted, and then. Kingdom is yours. Matthew 7, ask, and then it'll be. Matthew 24, be faithful in the little things, and you'll be in charge of. Mark 9, give a cup of cold water, and you'll. John 3:16, believe in Jesus, and. Philippians 3, stand firm, and you're. James 1, ask in faith. James 1:12, endure, and you get a. James 4, draw near to God. 1 Peter 5, serve the flock. Revelation 2, persevere over evil. Revelation 2:10, be faithful, get a. I want to challenge you that becoming a part of the bride is a best case scenario. There's a worst case scenario, but there's a ton in the middle that we're just beginning to discover. Oh, you mean I can get into heaven and only be a guest and not actually be in the bride? Yes, I think that's what the scriptures teach. And even those who are guests are blessed. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding banquet. They still get a great blessing. Okay. I'm going to keep you guys maybe another half hour, so gear up, all right? Oh, dear God, please answer my prayer. Help him get sick right now. Okay, Revelation chapter 3, let's have some fun. Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. This passage, men and women, is, I hope, going to blow you away. You won't be thinking about tea. You won't be thinking about a break. You're going to say, oh my goodness. Revelation chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. First off, who's he writing to? Believers or non-believers? Believers. Believers. Now, I know you're what? You have the reputation of being what? Alive. But you are?
Dead.
What's a person who acts one way on Sunday but lives totally different Monday through Saturday? What do we call those people? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. He's saying you're a bunch of hypocrites at this church. I know your works. I know what you're doing, but you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what he's saying. Right? Understand? Okay? Wake up. What's another way of saying wake up? Repent. Repent of your sin. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. What's about to die? Their faith. Their faith. You've got a little bit. Hang on to that. Don't let it completely die. Don't become an apostate. Hang on to your faith. Wake up and repent what is about to die. For I have not found your works what? Complete in the sight of my God. I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Now, if you didn't understand the difference between entering the kingdom of heaven and inheriting the kingdom of heaven, what would this verse tell you? You have to do a certain amount of works in order to get into heaven. So you get back to a faith plus works salvation. Now, I have not found your works complete. Write in your notes, You don't have to go there, but write in your notes Psalm 139, verse 16. Psalm 139, verse 16. I don't think I put it there in your notes, did I, Debbie? It's there?
Yes.
Listen to these words. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. What does that tell you? God has a plan for what? Every day of your life. He's already got a plan. He's got a plan. He's already mapped it out. And I want to suggest, I'm giving a total guess at a number, but I want to suggest God is saying, I've got 100 things I want you to do. And if you do them, you'll earn the right to be a part of my bride. You'll earn the right to be a part of my bride. It's a total arbitrary number, but let's say 100. And according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, I believe it is, God says, if you are an overcomer, if you finish strong, if you do those 100 things, I'll whisper a new name to you. In other words, you will have developed a reputation in my eyes, and I'm going to tell you what I had as a nickname for you. Okay? So our son had his second child was a trisomy 18 baby. Remember, for 6 months, they knew his body was different and he probably would die. So my son gave him a nickname. He nicknamed him Warrior. Fight, son, fight. Fight for your life. And he fought until 8 hours into his life after he was born, after 8 hours, and then he went to be with Jesus. My son gave him a nickname. I think Jesus gives us a nickname. According to Revelation chapter 2, maybe we better turn there. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Revelation 2, verse 17. To the one who what?
Conquers.
To the one who finishes strong, to the Nike Christian, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. A white stone back in those days was a ticket with a what? New name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. If you finish strong, God's going to give you a new name, a new nickname, a reputation. You're Warrior. You are a woman of faith. You are the tea woman. You are whatever it is. He's going to give you a nickname. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. The pastor that commits adultery and loses his pastorate, was that written in the book of life in Psalm 139, verse 16? I know everything that I have planned out for you. Was that adultery written in the book of life? Yes or no? No. How do we know it's no? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Remember, men and women, you've got to listen to this 6 times. You're taking a sip out of a fire hydrant. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We all know verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through. It is not of yourselves, not as a result of works. The gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And then what does he say in verse 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Oh, good works. So all the things that must be written in the book of life for every day of our lives must be good works, not bad works. So the pastor who commits adultery deviated from what God had planned for his life. Following my thinking, yes or no? Ladies, yes or no? Thank you. Okay? So when, back to Revelation chapter 3, when he says, I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God, what's he saying? I wanted you to do 100 things to earn the right to be a part of the bride, and you haven't even accomplished 13 of them. What are you doing? What are you doing? Wake up. Repent. You feeling the tension in this church? Yes or no? Okay? I've not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then, I'm at verse 3 in Revelation chapter 3. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, if you will not repent, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at one hour I will come against you. Men, what do thieves do? Steal. And what's Jesus going to steal from them? Their rewards. I will steal my rewards from you. And I'll give it to someone else who was faithful. I will come like a thief. Verse 4. You guys tracking with me? Ladies, are you tracking? Thank you. Verse 4. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments. Let's stop right there. Soiled their garments. Mrs. Shogren, what happens when you soil a garment? What's it getting?
It's getting very dirty.
It's getting very dirty. And what represented the righteous acts of the saints? What was that reflective of in Revelation chapter 19? The fine white linen. Exactly. The fine white. Nothing dirty. Fine white linen. He says, there's a few of you who have not soiled your garments. What's he saying? There's a few of you who are on track to do your 100 things.
They're pure and holy.
Okay. Understanding?
Yes.
Okay, let's keep going. Yet there are a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, for they will walk with me in white, for they are what?
Worthy.
Oh, no. Jesus says we are unworthy, right? Unworthy. How can he say they are worthy? Think through it. You are unworthy for? Thank you. You're unworthy for judgment one, but you can be worthy for the second judgment. Why? Because you chose of your own free will to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit and to do the 100 things God wanted you to do. Unworthy for judgment one, worthy for judgment two. And the white garments sound like a bride, absolutely. White garments, for they are worthy. They're going to be a part of the bride. Tracking, understand? Ladies? Oh, come on. I only heard one lady. Verse 5. The one who what?
Conquers.
The Nike Christian. The Nike Christian will be clothed thus in what? Which represents what? The bride. And I will never blot his name out of the book of? Sounds like you can lose your what? Salvation. Oh, so much for my teaching on eternal security. And this is where the Arminians, this is one of the passages Arminians will use to say you can lose your
salvation.
How do we deal with this?
Uh-oh.
Headache. Get the aspirin. The word for name, I will never blot his name out of the book of life, is the same Greek word that's found in verse 1, but it's translated differently. Find out what that word is. Go to verse 1. What word in verse 1 sounds like the word name? Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, he uses the same Greek word for name, but he translates it differently. What word do you think it is? Nope. Well,
right.
Nope. Reputation. Reputation. I know your reputation. So what could he be saying in verse 5? I will never blot your reputation out of the book of life. What does that mean? Well, I want to challenge you. That if you finish strong, you get a new what? A new reputation, a new name that only you will know. It'll be on a white stone. If you finish strong, you get that reputation. But if you don't finish strong, what's he going to do? Erase that out of the book of life. The new name. So here's how a 17-year-old, 16-year-old homeschool student said it to me in Virginia when I was teaching him this. He said, oh, Mr. Shogren, do you mean our names are written in ink in the book of life, but our reputation is written in pencil? I said, that's brilliant. That's exactly what it means. Our names are written in ink. Our reputation is written in pencil. God wants us to have this reputation. He's given us all the power we need. He's given us the Holy Spirit. All we've got to do is take hold of that power, live the life he wants us to live, and we'll get a new reputation.
So you could actually say that secret new name is written in pencil.
That secret new name is written in pencil. The one he wants to give to us on the white stone. And the white stone, we'll talk about it in a little bit, represents a ticket. A ticket to get into something. What do you think it's a ticket to get into? What are we talking about, this whole context? Not the second judgment. The wedding banquet. It's a ticket to get into the wedding banquet. Okay? So, I will not erase his reputation out of the book of life because he finished strong. He was a Nike Christian. Okay? Following me? Okay? Now, it gets really hard. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What is Jesus confessing to God the Father? It's judgment day, I'm assuming. The fire went up. What was left was gold, silver, precious stones. What is Jesus saying to God the Father? This one is faithful and worthy to be a part of my bride. This one is worthy to be a part of my bride.
Maybe it's confessing that new name.
This one is worthy to be a part of my bride. I doubt that, Debbie, because no one else will know it.
Oh.
Now, ladies, I beg of you, think through this. Men, you are not allowed to say anything. Ladies, think through the ramifications of this. What's going to happen to the Christian who was wood, hay, and straw? They live their life as a cat. Everything gets burned up. There's nothing left. What is Jesus going to say to God the Father? Grace? This one is, they have no works, zero works. Are they allowed to be a part of the bride? Zero works. Are they allowed to be a part of the bride? No. So what's he going to say to God the Father? This one is not worthy to be a part of my bride. And he, Jesus, will have denied that Christian to God the Father. Jesus denied me to God the Father? That's what the text implies. Are they going to hell? No. They're already in heaven. They're at the second judgment. But they're not worthy to be a part of the? Therefore, he says, Father, this one's not worthy. I don't know about you, but in America we say I would be peeing in my pants. What does it mean? Ask him back there, he knows. Another way the Bible says they will be speechless. Another way the Bible talks about it, we're going to look at it tomorrow. He will be beaten with many blows. Not physically beaten, but verbally beaten. Another way the Bible talks about it, they're going to be cut into pieces. Not physically cut in pieces. It's a metaphor for they look at your life, they realize you're not worthy, and you're going to feel like you've just been all cut up. Why? Because you were not worthy. This one's not worthy to be a part of my... Do you think they're going to be laughing at this point? What are they going to be doing? Sad, crying. No wonder the Bible says there are tears in heaven. Tears in heaven? Yeah. If Jesus is going to wipe away the tears, there must be tears in heaven.
So, sir, they will be in fast and the feasting.
They will be. They will be what? Fasting and the feast. We're going to get into that in the next couple of days. Okay?
Sir, from which places do you use that the Christian will be crying?
Where do I get that the Christians will be crying? In three places, there speaks in three places in the Bible, it talks about tears in heaven. Most Christians say, oh, those are happy tears. Those are tears of joy. I say, uh-uh. It's not how I read the Bible. So my wife was reading to me a devotion by Max Lucado. And in this devotion by Max Lucado, he's a very well-known speaker and writer in America. His books have sold millions. Mine have sold 5,000. I am nothing compared to him. And he says, when you stand before God on judgment day, every wrong deed you do will be covered by the blood of Jesus, and you'll be amazed at his grace, and all you will see are rewards that are given to you on that day. And I looked at Debbie when she read that to me, and I said, Debbie, I disagree with that. I don't think the Bible teaches us that. And I still disagree. If you're in circle number two your whole life, if you're abiding in the vine, then I agree with him. You can have confidence in J2. Primarily in circle two, always confessing your sin on a daily basis. Okay? But if you're in circle three, he says even circle three people, you have nothing to worry about. I say, oh yes, you have lots to worry about. Jesus may deny you to God, to Father, and the angels. This one is not worthy to be a part of my bride. And I want to challenge you, you'll see very quickly, they are not even allowed into the wedding banquet. Therefore, that takes on a whole new meaning for Matthew chapter 7. Lord, did we not do miracles in your name? Did we not do this and that in your name? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Is he saying, depart from me, go to hell? Or is he saying, depart from me, you're not allowed into the wedding banquet? You can go either way. But I want to challenge you. He's talking about the wedding banquet. You're not allowed into the wedding banquet. I did not respect your life. So, we're going to one more passage and then we're done. Okay? But I would hope you guys are saying, oh, please, Sir Bob, more, more. Oh, this is so good. More.
Hallelujah.
Ah, thank you. You get an A for the class. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Paul starts off with these words. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a trustworthy saying. Now, I don't know about you, but the number of times I've read this, I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? And how in the world can it be trustworthy if I can't even understand it? I don't know if you've wrestled with this passage like I have wrestled with this passage. So let's go through. Now it's going to make total sense to you. This is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we'll also live with him. If we endure, we'll also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What? What's that last verse for? What's that all about? That doesn't. If we've denied him, he remains faithful. That doesn't make any sense. Now it does. Let's break it down. You ready? If we have died with him, we will also live with him. J1 or J2? J1. If we endure, we'll also reign. J1 or J2? If we deny him, he will deny us. J3. Is that person going to hell, yes or no? If we deny him, he'll deny us. Does that mean he's going to hell? No, it means he's denied into the what? Into the wedding banquet, into this full inheritance. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we are faithless, I'm denying God. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What does that mean? He didn't pass J2, but he certainly passes J1 because the Holy Spirit lives inside of him, and he cannot deny the Holy Spirit that is inside of him that has sealed him for J1. Now, all of a sudden, oh, is that what the denying is about? So let's go again. If we have died with him, in other words, we've given our lives, we trust Jesus for our salvation, we'll also live with him forever, J1. We'll pass J1. If we endure, we're a Nike Christian, we're strong, we will also reign with him. If we deny him here on this earth as a Christian, someone gives you an opportunity to stand up for Jesus. You've got a bunch of Hindus all around you. They've got clubs. Do you believe in Jesus? You do. We're going to rape you. We're going to kill you. Oh, no, no, no. I don't know Jesus. You deny him. Jesus says, then I will. To God the Father. This one's not worthy to be a part of my bride. And if we're faithless, but he'll still remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, even though we're denying him. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He still lives inside of us. Therefore, he says, I'm still going to keep you in heaven through J1. You pass J1. I cannot deny the Holy Spirit living inside of you.
13, you would say, it's not saying that we are faithless, i.e. we've never believed in Jesus. You're saying if we are like weak in our faith.
Weak in our faith and we deny God. And I had a chance to stand up for Christ, but I didn't. I wimped out. I didn't choose the good works.
We're not always faithful.
Which then makes verse 14 make a whole lot more sense. What does verse 14 say? Remind them of these things. And charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearer. Do your best to present yourself to God as one appointed, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Ashamed? Is it possible that we can be ashamed before God? Absolutely, yes. On J2, when Jesus says, this one is not worthy to be a part of my bride, I'll be ashamed. I'll be ashamed because I wimped out. I think you guys are getting it by how you reacted to the idea that Jesus will say to God the Father, this one is not worthy to be a part of my bride. We are being denied by Jesus. And there's a couple of other passages that go in that direction, that hint at that. But since I said this was going to be the last verse, we're not going to go there because it's past tea time. It's past break time. It's past all time. We are operating by the grace of God on fumes. Oh, God, have mercy on us. This is helpful for you?
Yes, sir.
Go and teach it. You are dismissed.
To hear more of my husband's teachings, please go to www.bobchogrin.com. That's www.bobchogrin.com.